Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, here's the highlight you have been requesting.
Strom's pitch is swung on. Hit deep to right. Back goes Castellanos at the wall. Oh, baby, another one. Adios, amigo. Smooth jazz does it again. His fourth home run in the series. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is a Bronx bomber from the Bahamas. Strom's pitch is swung on. Hit deep to right. Back goes Castellanos at the wall. Oh, baby, another one. Adios, amigo.
All my bags are packed.
I'm ready to go. My ass is in a starting lineup with the Yankees. Life is so good.
But the dawn is
brisk. Wow. How about that story, man?
It's turned into a dog pile fest on the Marlins, by the way.
Jazz Chisholm, man. God bless him. I don't know what you thought of. I know some old school guys said he had a little too much mustard on the hot dog and all that stuff. The guy, he was fun to watch. I don't have a problem with that. And apparently he's a little bit better because he's doing things in two games. Actually, three games with the Yankees that he never did here. Four home runs in 24 hours. Last night, a five RBI game. How many times do you think he had a five RBI game here? I think it's fair to say probably zero without knowing off the top. But he's having fun. I think they got him playing third base. They were talking about second base and center field. He said, hey, man, I really don't care. I'm going to put this uniform on. You put me wherever you want me. I don't care. Whatever's going to help the team. But the story with Jeter signing off on it as well, I thought was really interesting. That he was asked, of course, Jeter knows him as well as anybody, and said, jump on it, man. All the people they went to said, hey, don't look at his numbers. Don't look at what they're doing in center field. Jump on it. The guy can play. And there you go. And I know there's some prospects thrown in there. I know that. Part of the 14 prospects. So I never expected to wake up this morning and one of the top trending stories is Jazz Chisholm, four home runs in two games for the Yankees after being traded from the Marlins. Wow. Anyway, hey, good morning to everybody. Want to apologize to University of Miami. Everything here is out at the radio station. It's everybody. It's everybody here, and we want to apologize to Dan Radakovich and Mario Cristobal and the university because they really busted their butt. They had it nicely. Woody and I were lucky enough to go down there for about an hour and a half early this morning. It was beautiful, man. It was great, and saw some of the guys early this morning because it was going to be an early practice, and I think we're going to try to get it all set up for next week. Hopefully, we can go back out there next week and be out there for a practice as well as the start of preseason, and of course the games coming up, the practices with the Atlanta Falcons as well. They're off today, and the Canes are out there for their first day without pads yet. And so we have all that stuff going on. I have been telling everybody that will listen that's like, okay, what do they look like? I go, Canes, on paper, because they haven't played, this is the best team they've had in a long, long time across the board. This is the best team they've had on the line of scrimmage on both sides in a long, long time. I'll just start with that. They've had some pretty talented guys. The pass rushing is loaded with guys. Jason Taylor has got to be the most excited human being on that coaching staff with what he has inside and outside and the depth that he has on that defensive line. Matter of fact, his biggest problem is how to play all my 4- and 5-star true freshmen and get them in the games and let them grow as players. Just the greatest problem to have. Even Mesidor's coming back. So, yeah, they're in real good shape. If Mark Fletcher's healthy, two big strong backs in Martinez and Fletcher, plus some of the other guys, that little speedsters. So that'll be in good shape. I haven't heard the latest on Mark Fletcher on his health. But, boy, he was running. He was running like a big cat, man, out of American Heritage Plantation. So they look pretty good. They look pretty damn good just about everywhere. And the line of scrimmage, that offensive line's got a chance to really be better than last year, to be honest, because of the growth of the guys all coming back, starting with your two offensive tackles coming back. Man, I just tell you, you look around and there's just no excuses. And honestly, probably your starting group of wide receivers, when you add Sam Brown to go with, obviously, Restrepo and George, who had, what'd they have, almost 2,000 yards in receptions between them. And now you get Sam Brown, who had a nice year, 62 catches for him with Houston last year coming over. And I saw that a lot of people been raving about how good he is. And then all those young guys that either been around or that young class of guys coming in, they're in great shape, man. They are. They may have a problem down the road keeping everybody, but boy, you talk about a loaded team right now. No excuses, man. It's just a matter of how quickly it comes together, guys playing together, and not being selfish is going to be a big thing. Because only one thing can kill a team, and that's a bunch of guys pouting, destroying the team because they're not playing. And if you get past that with strong leadership and great communication from your coaching staff, you have a chance, man. You have a really good chance to have a really good team. This is the best talent they've had there. I don't know. I hate to go back. It's been a long time since they've had a team on both sides with this kind of talent. And saying that, I don't know what the defensive secondary is going to look like. A lot of the guys are back from last year, and they lost a couple of safeties. But to me, they got some guys can play that, and it will be just fine through the high school recruitment to the transfer portal. Guy from Washington comes in with played really well last year for Washington at safety. So they're in good shape. And you got a couple Chaminade guys I think just have to play right away. You got a couple Chaminade Madonna guys who damn near won a national championship the last couple years. Those guys are going to have to play. So there's so many great stories. Not to mention all the great players here in South Florida that they were able to get and flipped a couple of guys, including Armando Blunt, the guy that was going to Florida State that flipped at the last second to come back to Miami. And Jordan Lyle, the running back, was going to Ohio State and said, no, I'm going to Miami. Justin Scott, who made a commitment kind of late in the game, going to Ohio State, said, no, going to Miami. So see what happens, man. I just from growth on the upside of those guys I just mentioned to these guys that are 4- and 5-year players now coming back for one last year to play at a high level to try to get drafted higher, it's good time. I can't wait to see what it's like. You've been waiting for this. And again, it's got to play together. It's no good. But I think the coordinators are both really good at what they do. And so that shouldn't be a problem, man. Lance Guidry and Shannon Dawson are damn good coordinators. Lance Guidry is, you know, we're lucky to keep him. I think he's real close to leaving. I think he was really close to leaving some big-time jobs. And he said, no, I like this group. And Mario's going to get some more good players. And, man, they're stacked. I haven't mentioned Reuben Bain. Can you imagine going through a show and I haven't mentioned Reuben Bain, one of the best true freshmen in the country last year, the year he had? just a, I'm teasing myself right now going through this, some of these players that they have. It's big backs, strong, being able to run the ball. Mario always talks, every since he's been around, talked about being able to control the line of scrimmage on both sides until you get that taken care of. Went out and got some of the best defensive tackles out of high school last year. Added one of the top guys in the country, a couple of the top guys in the country, and the transfer portal that they really liked. So now it's got to come together, man. It's got to be, because there's only one thing that matters at the end of the day. It's W's. It's not a problem with the NIL. It's not a problem with selling people on coming down here to play. So now you do all this and yap and get people all fired up because you think they're going to win games, and they need to win. They need to win a lot of games. There's no reason they can't win a majority of those games. And I know Florida State's going to play, and it's going to be a huge game because Florida State in certain areas is loaded. That defensive line, they might have the best defensive line in the country. Till I see what Miami's doing, they might have the best, and their defense is going to be really good till everything else. And Norvell's done a good job, man, no matter what. You know, say whatever you want. They went undefeated, and at the end they're playing with a third-string quarterback before coming down here and getting smashed when half their team decided to get ready for the NFL. But you look at all those other games, man, and Florida is not going to be a pushover. I don't buy that Florida's going to, like, lay down there. Florida's got some really good players. The Florida Gators got really good players. Now, they may not be at the level of some of the top teams, Georgia and LSU, and
you know how those games go, though, man. When you get those two, you know, in-state rivals,
it's gonna be a dogfight.
Close,
yeah.
Miami could be having a down year. FSU could be having a down year.
Remember how good the game was in Orlando with the Gators?
Yeah,
I can't even remember who was coaching.
It actually wasn't a good game. Wasn't that a really low-scoring, kind of an ugly game?
Lost the game on a turnover.
Yeah,
fumble.
No, that first of all, it's a very difficult place to play. Right, that's probably the toughest place they're going to go all season.
The Swamp?
Yeah.
Yes.
That'll be the toughest road game they have all season, probably.
That might be the most accurate thing you said today that I agree with.
I was due.
What's the Swamp hold, about 90? 90,000 or so?
Yep. It's a big one. It'll be hot there,
and by
too.
The way,
I know the Canes don't care, but it'll be
that coach got to be that coach who's got to be on one of the hottest seats in the SEC in the country. Has got to be looking, going, man, I got to win that one.
Well, if he wins four games, he crushed it.
Well, he's got to play.
Four would be really impressive for the Gators. That schedule was unreal.
I think one of the greatest things going on in college football is Florida, Florida State, and Miami are all going to play each other. That's the best thing. I like that. I do. I like it. And
I agree with you, but if you look at it from Florida's perspective, why? Why do you need to have a tougher schedule than you already do? Remember their conference schedule?
I'm guessing when Florida put that game together, they were looking down here and going, I don't think they're looking at Miami being very good. How many years ago did they get that game done? They don't happen overnight. How many years ago?
They're years. It's probably a home and home, right? I mean, they're years and
I don't know, but I don't think they really cared.
So here's the thing, though. The Gators go... They get Samford, right, on September 7th, the week after the Canes. Then they got Texas A&M at home, at Mississippi State. They have UCF in there, yeah, who's UCF, never a pushover.
UCF's not going to be easy.
Right? That's not an easy game. At Tennessee, never easy. Kentucky's probably going to be pretty good. Georgia, I'm guessing, will be okay. At Texas, Texas should be okay. LSU, Ole Miss, and then Florida State.
You hit the five games. The last five games are going to be tough.
I don't think the
last five again.
I'm not so sure the Gators are favored. The Gators will be favored against Samford, I would think. I'm not so sure they're favored in any other game this season. Texas A&M, Mississippi State, UCF, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia,
they're going to be favored over Mississippi State, not Ole Miss, though. Which one?
At Mississippi State? I mean, you sure about that?
Everybody said Kiffin's got a real good team at Ole Miss.
I'm sure they do. They get the Ole Miss at the end of the season. Second to last
LSU. LSU is obviously reloaded.
Yes, I would think.
Texas is going to be really good.
Texas is...
Georgia, good.
Georgia Kentucky, always good.
Good.
Kentucky's got it going.
Kentucky beats the Gators every year anyway, so...
I don't know. Is that the case?
That's the game I always look forward to because they always lose to Kentucky.
Can we just talk about stuff without you getting personal on everything of who you want to win and lose? You obviously have not spent money at all the universities yet.
No, not yet.
All right. Hey, listen.
That Gators-UCF game will be a tricky one, though.
I got to tell you, the Florida fans were nicer to me than the Florida State fans.
Really?
My daughters were going there.
It's a shame. You've donated equally to both programs.
I told them, I thought Jimbo likes me. Why are you treating me like this? Hey, I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic, man. ED and low T, nothing to mess with. Oh, my gosh. I got to tell you. If you've had low T, I mean, it's one thing guys will talk about as you get older, the low T thing. But you mentioned ED. I've never met a guy, even my best friends, are going, hey, bro, you got ED. I know you're almost 70 or you're in your 60s. They go, no problem. I understand. It's not something we go around talking about. But I had low T, and yes, I had ED. Boy, did I have it. And I got to tell you, 6 months ago, I was like, what am I going to do? This is terrible. I have no energy to work out. I'm tired all the time. I'm sitting around on the couch, eating way too much and sleeping, falling asleep to something on Netflix. And then on top of it, I was getting where I wasn't looking forward to a Friday or Saturday night because I'd go to bed and I was like, hey, there is nothing there, honey. I am sorry. If you don't mind, I'm going to go to sleep tonight. I'm a little tired. Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing to have both of them. But I got to tell you, I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic. I wasn't excited about it, but I sure am now because 6 months later, I am telling you, within a few weeks, I just felt a lot better. My energy level, everything, my sex drive was back. Felt like a new guy, man. I really did. Hey, I want you, if you're going through it, it happens in your 40s, 50s, and 60s for men out there. Don't be embarrassed. You don't have to tell anybody. I'll tell them for you. Schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic today. Your initial visit includes medical consultation with a Florida licensed medical provider, a T, and a PSA test, and a medically advised to test dose. And if the test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Their people are really good at what they do. They'll explain, take a look at your numbers, get all the tests done, and go, we can take care of this real quickly. You'll be just fine. They have 6 locations in South Florida to serve you. If you're like me and you want to get more out of the fourth quarter of life and really start to enjoy yourself with your wife or your partner, 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com. Get that first appointment set up today. It'll make a big difference.
Joe, back to you.
All right, Woody. Yeah, back to your very immature stuff. You just couldn't. No, you can't help yourself.
I'm reading it directly off the screen. If it happens, it happens. If it happens, it happens, bro.
You really are. I'd love to see you around your wife. Just see what you're like around your wife. I really would.
I can't joke at home, so I got to get it out of my system here.
See, you got to just learn to be immature no matter where you are. Wait till your boys won't call you out. The girls will call you out. If you've got...
They don't like your humor.
Not funny at all.
I know. I saw the show. You put on a Dolphins camp with your daughter there. She wasn't interested.
And what is it? So they sit around and talk, and it sounds like they're having fun. I hear them laughing. So I said, hey, what's going on? They all stop. You know, you ever jumped in, and all of a sudden, whatever everybody's talking about, they stop talking, and it's obvious that it's you? That's what it's like at my house, led by the oldest, Taylor. She leads the charge. And then I'll say something that I think is kind of funny. And she'll go, I'm gone.
I think your brand of humor is a little more like up my alley than it is theirs.
Yeah, I'll just say something.
Well.
That how about this? The other night I said, hey, is there any of that left? And she'll go, oh, my God. So you're saying I'm eating all the friggin', you know.
Oh, they hit you with that.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I go, I didn't say that. I just said, is there any... No, your voice, that's not what it was. Jeez.
Like walking on eggshells.
Oh, my God.
But are you a jerk now that you're healthier? Because you used to be, I don't know what, 6-8 months ago, you were a pig and you would eat whatever. Now you're like, you know, meal delivery service guy and you're skinny.
No.
So like, are you like condescending to people around the house when they eat junk food?
No. It was actually doctors told me it's not good to be closer to 300 than 200. That I've said that to you a zillion times.
You need a doctor to tell you that?
Well, I knew it, but...
Okay.
You know.
But I'm just wondering, like, are you... Because sometimes people start to get healthy, they become, like, you know, they got to...
No.
Put it on everyone else, and...
But I'm not taking vitamin pills every day. I'm taking a blood pressure pill, a blood thinner, and a heart pill. I call them my vitamins, man.
Whatever keeps you going, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Keep going. I can keep drinking. That's the other thing. The damn doctor says, hey, man, you need to cut way back on the coffee. I said, I can't. There's no shot. Well, how much do you drink? I love that one. How many cups are you having? I go, how many cups? I don't really go by cups. I go by the big boys at Dunkin' Donut. Well, how many of those you drinking? Then he asked me how many cups was one of the big boys from D&D. I said, I didn't know. It was a lot.
Did you ever think about slowly cutting back?
No.
Like not just, you know, going cold turkey on it, but like maybe instead of buying the extra large coffee, you get like, you know, start with a large and then work your way down.
No, it's just, I can't complete the caffeine high unless I get, in my mind, unless I have the big boy. Early in the morning, gone by before 6.
But isn't it all the other stuff that goes into coffee, too, that's bad for you, like the milk?
I don't know, Woody. I'm not, like...
Stuff. I don't drink coffee,
healthy.
So I don't know, but...
No, I'm not healthy. I'm still not that healthy.
Yeah, but you haven't had a carb in months.
I cheat. I'm a cheater. I'm a known cheater.
When it comes to beer, I guess. But...
I'm a known cheater on certain things. I still do like it. I was sweating like a... Yeah, and I had a cold beer, and it went down super fast, yeah.
So it says, no wonder why Joe spends his time in the office at home. He's always tag-teamed by the women of the house.
Oh, no, it's tough.
You are always in that office whenever I call you.
That's a tough group.
Yeah.
That's tough. And then I love when they do come in because, what, they need something, right? When they come in, like, hey. Go, hey, what do you need? I just go right to it. Hey, what do you need? Let's not beat
nice
around
too.
The bush. Yeah, you're being real nice. What do you need? Oh, I was wondering. No. I'm not asking, give me a call, Paul, for tickets. Not doing that. Paul's been busy. We can't do that. That's not going to work.
Has he called you back yet? No?
No, he's been good. He's been coming in a little bit.
I think he likes you. I think you guys got off to a bad start, but I do think he likes you.
Do you think he handled the pressure of the Panther tickets during that run? How do you think he did on that?
I don't want to say he buckled, but it was tough. That was a tough situation. A lot of people asking.
Oh, no, everybody. Everybody was, you're right. And he was like, oh, you're on the list. By the way, when he tells you on your list, he's really telling you you're not on the list. You have no shot of getting those tickets. Hey, so Woody yesterday I thought was pretty interesting. The Miami Dolphins had a little short yardage practice. And you know Omar's just chewing this up about the toughness. You know, he just, I got to give him credit. He did hit this, the toughness thing and being more physical. And I know he thinks in his mind, because you've been around Omar, that he thinks when he writes his stuff, the coach, like somebody brings it, like Ann brings it into the coach, and he goes, he's right, let's do that tomorrow. He thinks Mike got that contract done for Tua. And I told him, I said, hey, man, I don't mean to break it to you. Yeah, coach put in a good word and told the organization how he feels about Tua. But if you think he was up there beating on the owner's door or hitting a general manager every 2 seconds, like, I demand he gets more. Give him the damn money. Mike wanted him. Yes. Mike's his biggest fan. Yes. He made it clear to everybody so that he wanted Tua to know. And by the way, it worked. Tua comes out and goes, man, it really helped a lot that I had coach really – you know, on my side. Well, of course he was on your side. Wants you to be the quarterback. He believes you're not only real good now, you're going to get even better. So he did. But it had nothing to do with Omar's article.
And Omar, I agree with you, but Tua Omar, did come out and say that Mike went to bat for him, and I pictured Omar doing a little victory lap on that one because we did rip him for that.
No, so
we did
he
rip
did,
him
because I talked to him.
Yeah,
and then he got
did
he goes
go like, I told you so.
He goes
Joe.
I think I got a pretty good pulse on this team right now. I talked about him being physical. What do? They go out and they have a little physical drill, a couple of physical drills out there to get after it. They need to do that.
Maybe
and then
the
he
team
said,
should hire him as a motivator.
I don't know.
Hey, you know what was interesting that I found? I thought from practice, and we were talking, you know, Pete Prisco's up there and all these other guys, and they, you know, you go, are all the other camps like this? Because Pete goes to all the camps.
I did ask him that, yes.
Because that Dolphins practice was, I don't know what word you want to use, it was kind of lifeless, right? I know they were throwing some passes at the end.
No, but just, you're right.
It's 90 minutes on the dot.
It's not.
Right? It's just, and Pete goes, no, that's what it's like around the league.
So it's funny because I asked all those guys, because I also asked Charles Davis. I said, I got to ask him. Mark Ross. Everybody was happened to be all the guys come on our show happened to all be there the same day. And so I was curious. I go, hey, you saw this practice today? And they're all going, yeah, it wasn't, yeah, good and bad. And it's just typical. And they go, this is the same everywhere. And I go, they've been going to camps. I said, so is our practices the same as everybody else? They go, yes. Everybody's doing the same thing. We go up to see certain guys. It's a rest day. He won't be playing, but he can do your interview. No, he's not going to be out there. So what has happened is these coaches aren't doing this on their own. All these coaches are 100% in on these guys with all this technology on the shoulder pads. I call it the science team. Does that fall under the science team, Woody? But they're like, hey, you know, and seeing if you run as fast late in the season as early in the season, and dead legs and fresh legs. So we tried that. We tried that in December, and we weren't playing well. We got off to a great start, and we weren't playing well. And the team, we were in a dogfight. So we're all sitting around complaining. So we go to Dwight. Hey, Dwight. Dwight Stevenson was the captain, team captain. And Dwight just wanted to play. Dwight was just a flat-out great player, man. It's hard to imagine anybody being a better center ever than Dwight. So we said to Dwight, and I was in there, and I say, Dwight, man, we got a lot of guys, tired legs. And I could tell you some of the guys, you probably guessed the guys. And can you ask Coach, man, if we can cut back on these hard practices on Wednesday and Thursday? They're just, guys are wiped out, man, and everybody's playing Sunday. They said their legs are tired on Sunday. And, you know, we'd lost a couple of games in a row. And Coach Shula's going nuts, man. Here we are late in the year and we're playing bad football. So Dwight goes, all right, I'll go in there. So he goes in and he comes out about 20 minutes later. And he's pissed. Man, I knew that was a bad idea. I got ripped. And he wanted to know names. Coach Shula not only listened to him, he had a message, and he goes, and he had a message for you. First of all, he wanted to know who was complaining on the team. And we're all going, you didn't say my name, did you? You didn't say my name, did you? And I'm thinking, hey, Dwight. And he goes, no, I didn't say anybody's name. And then the last thing he said, yeah, Coach had a message. You guys quit going out at night so damn much and keep your legs fresh, ready to go. Try going home after practice for a week and see how you feel. So Coach knew guys were still going out. By the way, the most aware coach of all time. Everybody thought Don Shula had no idea what was going on. That dude knew the clubs that guys were going to. Coach Shula, you know, old school, he wouldn't know where those clubs were. He knew the name of the – he had somebody feeding him stuff. He knew, he goes, hey, we got three clubs that I'd prefer you guys not go to. He shows up in a meeting one day and goes, hey, three clubs that I don't think are a good idea. There's some bad guys in some of these clubs. Talking about the mafia and the cartel. Literally, our coach is winning games. He goes, there's three clubs. Apparently, like the FBI or some group comes in to talk to him and says, hey, man, we've got some, we're watching some gang, and we got some of your guys hanging out in the same clubs. So the coach goes, hey, he names these three clubs. And one of them was Rollins. I remember Rollins. I'm guessing one was September's. And so he says, and you know, and the guy, you know, that ran those clubs was one of the greatest guys, or is one of the greatest guys of all time. Just a fantastic guy. So he says, hey, man. And he mentioned to a couple of guys, I don't want to say their names because I still live by the man code most of the time. And they said, hey, man, we're going to ask you guys to not go to the clubs and stay away from them. And those guys go, no way. He goes, what do you mean, no way? He goes, that's where all the girls go. The girls are following all these cartel guys. Guys, all these beautiful, beautiful women, coach, are showing up at these clubs. And they told him that. And I was like, man, I ain't telling him anything. Next time I went to the club, all I could think of is, I wonder if Coach Shula's got like security for the Dolphins watching to see who's coming in and out of this club right now. Oh, man, he was sharp, though, man. Shoes was on top. Shoes, when he threw out the name of the clubs one day, you know, he had the team meeting, goes, hey, because he'd meet with people, and he was up on everything in Dade and Broward County, and if it had to do with his players, he'd like to know what was going on. One day, it was Duriel Harris. I can talk about him. So one day, Duriel Harris, he comes in, he's got a piece of paper, and he says, hey, I see we had a midnight wet t-shirt contest at a club last night, and one of the judges, this is Shoes up in front of the team, one of the judges was Duriel Harris. Duriel, what'd they pay you? And Duriel goes, no, I'm just curious. You know, Don Shula sarcasm goes, what'd they pay you, man? The same you're going to get fined? That's like, it was at the time, you know, when he's up there standing, it's the most intimidating thing of all time when Shoes is in front of the team. But, like, can you imagine why we're all getting ready for football games and Shoes is talking about nightclubs down in Coconut Grove? You know, so you've seen those shows. And it was the Grove back then, and it was Fort Lauderdale. Those were the two places. By the way, how many people up there could admit, if they watch Cocaine Cowboys, that they're at a few of those clubs? I'm raising my hand right now that I was up there. And yes, I did see cocaine all over the table. But I'm here to tell you, there was cocaine everywhere. I did not touch it. Hey, we got to go to break. We'll be right back. Hey! Boy, I'm hiring a kite. By the way, it's Dunkin' Donut coffee, just so you know. We got a little carried away in that last one. Hey, I want to say, I don't get to do this, but to all the great fathers out there, including the father to Reagan and Kennedy, you have a great father. You should love and respect him. Look at him right now. Don't listen. Don't get all goofy in the car. Look at that man and say, I love you, man. I love you. Joe Rose is right. You are a great father. No more attitude. We're lucky to have you, Dad. That's all you have to do, man. That's it. And now you got to put up with some of your dad's goofy-ass stuff that he says in the car on the trip. So that's what happens. The name of that club, if you've seen all those shows, I love all those shows, by the way. I like all the cartel stuff from Colombia to Mexico. And then, and I like all the mob stuff, and they're all down here in the 80s. That's the reason I'm bringing up. But that mutiny, I swear to God, when that first came out, I thought I'd see teammates or somebody. It was a hot club. Don't get me wrong. It was a hot club down there. Just around the corner from Faces in the Grove, actually, not too far away. All those clubs were close down there. And then they had a lot of live music in the Grove. So we used to go to the Grove and then break it up with a lot of Fort Lauderdale. Anybody remember Roland? There is. I just finished years ago playing basketball with Roland. One of my favorite human beings of all time. I haven't heard anything, so I think he's still alive and going strong. Toby, we lost Toby, another one that had some clubs. He passed away years ago. But I got to tell you, man, I was jealous. Those guys, what a life, man. What a life. Not easy. Not easy. I asked Roland one time from Roland's, and he ran September's there, I believe, for a while, if I'm not mistaken. And I used to ask Roland, I said, hey, Roland, man, how do you do it, man? You're always taking shots with people. You know, I must have had a zillion shots with that guy. And he goes, mine's water. I go, what? He goes, when those guys are pouring, they know to pour me water. Why they're pouring you real alcohol. I went, wow. No wonder you were able to hang in there all that time. That's amazing. Yeah, that mutiny was wild. If you got up there, that was a different place, man. That was a different place. No question about it. But I did get a kick out of, like, so I always thought Coach Shula was just so into coaching that he was not aware of anything around him. And then somebody said to me one day, you realize Coach Shula was a former player. Like, all the stuff we've done, he's done. And it was true. So Shoe's the badass, the hard guy, the motivator. He once played for the Cleveland Browns, and the guys that play with him go, oh, no, he knows all the tricks. Don't think, oh, Coach. Coach could hold his own, man. And I thought, wow. But it was amazing. He had the police department come in ahead of it. If there was somebody and somebody was seen in a club and some of the guys he was hanging around were a little shady, because that's all it was. He just, he had a meeting. Our football meetings, it was nothing to go, hey, guys, heads up. We got guys going to Roland's, and we're going to ask you to stay away. They're under an investigation right now. There's some shady characters going in that club. Well, of course there was. There were shady characters going in all those clubs. Oh, God. I didn't know how bad it was till I saw these shows. I swear to God, I had no idea I got here in 1980, but I had no idea the first 3 or 4 years in the 80s. I had no idea all these. I thought it was normal that the machine guns would show up and just blow up all these malls and stuff. I just went, 15 people got killed today. You know, it's a little crazy out there, because I never saw it. It was a nutty time, man.
It's amazing you guys didn't have those camera phones out there, man. Oh, that would have been something. Could you imagine? By the way, I was just curious, did you ever judge one of those contests? Did you ever get a chance?
Nope.
You never got the call?
Never stayed out late to do those.
You never stayed out late. I'm sure you watched. So you never got to judge, though?
So those were real popular.
Those have been retired, by the way.
You can't do those anymore. Are you kidding?
No.
You want to get caught throwing water on some girl so everybody can see her chest? Can you imagine? There were girls who were going around. So there were girls who were going around there, and the same girls were winning. Like, all right, what time's your start? I'll be there. Oh, what time's that? And their boyfriends would take them and just take them club to club. And I was just thinking, if you tried that today, can you imagine some really good player pouring water and they got a shot of that? Everybody's got their camera out or their phone out.
Yeah, everyone have the phone. Yeah, that's not good.
Phone camera.
I know you meant. 239 text. Just, oh, God. My mom frequently was at September's in the 80s. Pretty sure I have some questions for her now. Oh, boy.
I got to tell you, that was a watering hole. That was a big one. September's was kind of that was big stuff. That was, you could dance. They had dinner in the other room. You could grab a little food and you could wear your polyester and bell-bottom pants and get rocking and rolling. Yeah, you young guys got to ask your mom and dad where they're hanging out if they're my age. Where were you
going?
Yeah,
mine are your age, and they went to UM. I don't want to ask them. I don't want to know.
You don't know what clubs?
No, to be honest, I don't.
So I got to tell you. Clayton and Duper were in charge for our group going out for the best ladies' night, and we used to rotate around. One night, I couldn't get a ride home. Oh, God. That was a crazy night. Yeah, no, there was some. They found some club in home. I was in Homestead one night. Can you imagine an early 80s in Homestead? And one night, I ended up in North Palm Beach at the Marriott. I think Marriott Hotel had this hot jungles or jungle. I forgot that. Somebody out there will know the name of it. Connected to the inside the hotel. And, I mean, we walked in there, and that place was loaded with first-round picks. There was first-round picks walking all over that place. So the problem was that drive home to get ready for football practice was a little rough the next day or that night. A little crazy. It was a crazy time, man. I'm lucky to be here and still talking about it. I'm very lucky.
And look, you've calmed down, too.
Yeah,
so
I'm much more mature. And, you know, I got guys who'll call me, hey, dude, do me a favor. When you're telling those stories, can you leave me out of those stories? Because my kids are around, and I really don't want to get in. If you want to talk about the mutiny and seeing cocaine all over the tables, Just leave me out of it, will you? Let's just say we left before it got crazy or something. Anyway, it was a crazy time. Hey, man, it was a crazy day today. I'm not going to lie. I want to apologize, University of Miami. It was our fault, not your fault. It sounds like marriage. It wasn't your fault. It's my fault. I'm really good at it, by the way, right now.
All that counseling's really paid off, man.
Told you.
That's excellent.
Told you.
I'd like to see that.
Hey, man, we had a good time. So we had such a good time. We're going to try to do it again tomorrow morning and see if it all works. Have a great day, everybody.
QAM, broadcasting live from the Ed Moore Sawgrass Auto Mall Studios. Shop exceptional Cadillac offers now at the 3-time Cadillac Dealer of the Year, Ed Moore Sawgrass Cadillac. Visit Ed Moore Sawgrass Cadillac.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.